Hello, 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 my people. And welcome back to Transform You Live Show with your host, Mr. Dr. Marcus Hart. I am just definitely excited, people. We are back for another segment. If you guys were with me earlier, you will see around for my 12 o'clock segment, and it was just me solo doing a solo run, providing some great tips and some great inside information to help us move along and just and all the things we're trying to do just to begin to restore our inner voice, restore our energy back to where it's supposed to be, divinely connected with the unit that is the universe, and just make transformation in our life. But we are here for 1 o'clock segment, and we got an awesome guest I'm talking about. We're ready to blow you away with this stuff. Now, imagine if your thoughts were just as up-to-date as technology was. Just think about that. You just remind if you were just a computer on steroids. Well, it is very, very possible when you contrail think. My guest today is Diane Collins, people. Can I get a hey now? The original thinker herself and media personality. She's also author of the 6-time award-winning bestseller, Do You Quantum Think? New thinking that will rock your world. It is a must-read book, and I can't wait to dive in myself. She's going to tell us more about that. She's going to tell us more about herself. Without further ado, let's hear it for Diane Collins.
Hello, Dr. Marcus, and everyone in this conversation with us listening. I'm so delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we are very happy to have you and definitely excited. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Diane, in your own words.
In my own words. We always want to know, like, okay, which direction are we coming in on? Well, let me just say that I'll give you a little personal stuff. I grew up in a small town in New Jersey in the United States, Shrewsbury, and I went to University of Miami to study philosophy and psychology because the only thing I was ever interested in as a teenager, and even younger, I would say, is that I looked in the world, Dr. Marcus, and like all of us, you look in the world and you think to yourself, you know, there's so much beauty, there's so much greatness, there's so much divinity, and yet you read the headlines and it looks like anything but, right?
Right.
And so I wanted to know, how do we actually start to live the wisdom, to live the divine virtues, compassion, unconditional love, kind-heartedness, joy from one's spirit, the idea, and more than the idea, the experience of our unity, that, you know, we're all here together, co-creating, collaborating on this earth. So I wanted to know, how do we go from merely knowing it, knowing the wisdom, to actually living it? And so that began my quest. And I studied metaphysics. I studied all spiritual traditions, meditation, and then eventually I came across quantum physics, and I thought, wow, I could use this, because I'm not a physicist, I'm not a scientist, but I realized that the new science, you know, you said, what if your technology, right? You could think like a technology, right? We're in a quantum age, but we're still thinking like a machine age humanity. So what quantum think is eventually what happened is I thought, what if I could put all these principles together? The quantum insights are now proving scientifically, the spiritual wisdom, that everything is interconnected, that we really are one and interdependent, and that we're way beyond just the physical being, where in the physical we look separate, we look different, you know, it could be the cause of a lot of the bigotry and divisiveness that we have. And so if you start to think and live from ourselves as multidimensional beings, we have a spiritual side, we have a sacred side, we have an energetic side. You mentioned that when you were playing the opening music. And so that's what Quantum Think is, an actual system of 21 principles and practices I call a new system of thinking that has us make that leap so that we're in a more expanded and up-to-date and more literally a more masterful way of relating to ourselves in the world.
Oh, wow. You know, I love this stuff. I get so excited whenever I come across a like-minded individual. It's beautiful. It's like being married. But Diane, you know, before I propose to you.
What do you mean? I thought it was a done deal. By the way, I am, in the other life, I am married, and I don't know if you are either. But it doesn't matter. But we are. It's like a marriage.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like we're here together, and
right. We're
here to lift the spirit. We're here for an awakening of consciousness. We're here to let's get with it, people. You know. Let's get this thing together here on Earth and make it work the way it's supposed to be.
And that's what's missing so much, Diane. You know, you're really touching on all the right spots here. You know, you said you in your past you decided to just learn about all the religions. Did that at all, you know, like take you out of your box? You know, like, you know, you see people so boxed in. So did that take you out of your box?
Out of my box? Absolutely. You know, well, you know, religion is both. I once wrote a short article years ago, Marcus, that was, you know, religion has divided us. Can it also bring us together? And in quantum thinking, what I call the art of distinguishing, a new worldview of learning, new worldview meaning the quantum worldview, that the time that we're in right now, is that how do we integrate this wisdom? Is we bring something into our awareness. This is what distinguishing, the way that I use it in quantum thinking. You bring something into your awareness right now, in this moment, in the present moment, in such a way that you transform. And I love the title of your show. It's what's
yeah.
the heart of the matter, right? Transform you.
Right.
You transform your relationship to it. And when you have a transformation, it transforms instantaneously the past, present, and future. So I wrote that article, and then in Do You Quantum Think, I have a chapter on it. You know, like God, whatever you think of as God, and some people don't even like to use that term, Buddhists, for example, I don't think they use the term God. But we all know that there is a source creator, something so infinite it's beyond any of us to think. And I know you asked me the question, did the study of religions take me beyond? I think I kind of was. I sort of popped out into the world from my mama, and I was already thinking beyond. However, I don't want to say, I was always out of the box, but I will say that when you start to look at, why do some people, you know, they relate to the sacred and the spiritual through Jesus? Why do some people relate to it through Buddha? Why do some people relate to it through Lord Krishna? Why do some people relate to it like the indigenous cultures do through the spirits of nature or whatever it is? And so you think, God, I'm going to use the word God. No problem. If you don't like,
I don't mind.
Whoever's listening, fill in the blank, right? Not that it's blank by any means. But, you know, when you look at what the divine creator gave us, this amazing infinite diversity, and that wherever, you know, it sort of makes life more interesting, doesn't it?
Yes,
and
definitely.
It's like, wow. And so to me, what happened, you know, when I look at religion and the scriptures, and I'm certainly not, you know, you're an ordained minister, and this is your topic, right? So you're the expert. But, you know, I'm just an ordinary person. That when I look at it, and to me, it has to do with the interpretation. Because there's universal wisdom. I'd like to know your view, actually, as a minister. And so we relate through that culture that we've been brought up within. Some of us, you know, branch out, as I did, with my husband, too. But it's like, if you read scriptures literally, and let's say something is written, you know, thousands of years ago, or it's written by, it's, you know, been coming through different people at different times over the millennia. And who knows how many people this divine wisdom came through. But we're all human, so maybe some of it got distorted, or the language is different, or it was written in the language of a different time, and now that had to be translated. And then religious scholars, you know, interpret and reinterpret, and, you know, they change. No, it meant this, and this word meant that. And when I look at all of that, Dr. Marcus, I think, let's just get to the heart of it. Let's not get hung up in the wording. If somebody reads something and it's something destructive to life, that I don't see how that can be of divinity, of what, let's say, divine source gave us the opportunity to create in our own human way together on earth. So we do have a destiny and a choice. But I think something that's so destructive, like today what we think of as terrorism and just the horrific things, there is no way that that can be divine. Now, what do you think?
I definitely agree with you 100%. And you said something very important. You said the wording is not the meat. It's what where it really comes from. And you know, it does get definitely distorted and translated differently through the time, but, you know, we got to return back to where it actually comes from. You know, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and you get to that sacred place where you can get to it in so many ways. But just looking in the world and just looking at your own body, right? I mean, everything is literally awesome. It's like, wow, how do things, you know, it fit together so well on Earth? How does it all work? And in the universe, and then you think of these hundreds of millions and billions of galaxies, and, you know, it's you can't even fathom it. But then you bring it back to us.
Exactly.
Right? And you say, okay, can I have an effect in this world? Can I have a positive influence? And, of course, when you're quantum thinking and when you're what I know the way you think, that we know we can. So then the next question is, how do we do it? How do we get that command? Right?
Yeah, that's right.
What happened for me is that was my question. Because, you know, along the way you come across as you think, so you become. Your habits of thinking give rise to all of your actions, right, including your speaking and listening actions. Those are actions too. And therefore, to all of your results. So I thought, well, if all you, okay, thought creates reality. Okay, that's good. That's cool. But if all you had to do was change your thought to change your life, to change the world, why does it still look the way it does? And then that's what I had, what I call my great revelation, is that though we imagine we think freely, like, and independently,
right.
We all like to think of ourselves as free and independent thinkers, of course, and we have the opportunity in every moment to choose our thought. But to the extent that we have, and I say blame it on the old worldview, the industrial age worldview. What's a worldview? What we believe to be true about the nature of reality and how it works. So we've had this big shift from the mechanical age, the industrial age that gave rise to machines, to the quantum age. And what was the main shift is that the old worldview, as I lovingly call it, 17th century, the scientists
yeah.
made a declaration, only matter is real, only the physical is real. They probably did it to, you know, separate off from the church, so the church, you know, spirit could be left to clergy. But whatever reason they did it, and who knows, maybe I was there, I don't know. But,
you could have been.
Right, we could have been there.
Yeah, but we all could have been.
The idea was that everything in our modern society was oriented around the physical. So in school, conventional education, we learned about what? The physical, the brain. But we didn't learn about
right.
the mind. But I don't mean the psychology of mind. So the big shift from industrial age to quantum age, what was it? Now the scientists used to say, oh, the universe is like a big machine. Now they started saying, wait a minute, it's not just physical. It's not like a machine. It's more like a giant mind. It's mind-based.
Definitely.
It's consciousness-based. So then I say, well, if we want to know how to create anything, what is like the clay that we've been given, Marcus, to create with, and I know you know this, but I'm presencing it for all of us, the faculties of mind, the power of
right.
intent, how to connect in with our intuition, how to tune in with subtle energy, how do we generate what we want to resonate out into the world so that we're always giving our best and highest state. And I call these the five natural faculties of mind. And meditation, which I consider a faculty of mind, not just a practice, an important practice, but it's part of who we are, that inner part, that inner stillness. That's where we connect to that divine spirit. So it's then I thought, oh, well, if we could learn to use what we've been divinely bestowed with by human birth to create our human reality with, obviously we're not creating the, right, divine reality,
yeah.
I mean, but we've been given the opportunity, right, in the image of,
right.
then let's learn to, I call, master your mind, master your life. It's not mind control. It's utilizing effectively these faculties of mind. And that's what quantum think is all about. It's giving the principles, the 21 principles, putting them all together, and it strengthens us in our ability to, what I say it like this, to make your mind your friend. Does that make sense? I know I talked a lot there.
Oh, wow. It makes tons of sense. And you just gave us some outstanding nuggets here. I want to get back to, you know, where you said, you know, it's more than just merely knowing. It's the actual living application. And you probably said it already, you know, but, you know, what the audience really want to know is, like, you know, we know this stuff, but how can we begin to actually apply it?
Okay, good. Now, and then I'll give an exercise, but I just want to say something first. But I'll give a way to start getting that command with your mind right away. But, you know, I'm glad you honed in on that, Dr. Marcus, because this is how this works, what I call the art of distinguishing. It's that, and I'm sure this happens with you and, you know, your ministry, your work, the guests that you have on your show, is that we start to talk about something in such a way that we actually experience it. So how we integrate anything, knowledge becomes wisdom when you start living it. Actually, I have this little, I'm sitting at office, in my husband's office, actually, and he keeps this postcard that has a quote from Do You Want to Think on it, and I want to just, I want to read it. It's three lines.
No problem.
And then we'll discuss. And it's called Live Your Wisdom, right? That's what we're talking about. When you distinguish what you do becomes knowledge, right? You do certain things, and then you look at it and say, what am I doing? Oh, I'm, you know, building a marketing theory, you know? Like, let's say intuitively, or you've been born with a certain gifts of insight around marketing, and then you start doing it, and then you realize, oh, what am I actually doing? And then when you distinguish what you're doing, it becomes knowledge. That's the first line. Second line, when you distinguish what you know becomes wisdom. So you start to have insights, right? Like what you and I are talking about in this very conversation with everyone. Because I'm aware, as I know you are, of everyone listening is in this conversation as well. The listening is just as important as the speaking, because this is what creates the total field. This is part of quantum, you know, a quantum worldview, as we exist in fields together beyond the limits of ordinary space and chronological time, and we know that's what the internet makes possible. So whenever you're listening to this, whether it's on a replay, whether it's on YouTube, wherever it is, we're in this conversation together beyond those time-space limits. Okay, so when you distinguish what you know becomes wisdom. And we're talking now, you asked the key question, how do you live it? So when you distinguish your wisdom, you're living it. Now, how do you do that? Well, we learn, we integrate experientially. So if you want to know what is it like to ride a bicycle, right? You could watch a video of it. You could have it described to you. You could have the laws of physics about it. But until
many different ways to learn.
Right? When you ride that bicycle and you experience what it's like to balance, right? That becomes wisdom, multidimensional, because it's of the body, of your, right? All of it, energetically. So when you are reading, for example, Do You Quantum Think? And why does it work this way? Well, it came through me, whatever, thank you, God. But it also, because it's my intent that it works this way, because that's my, one of my missions in life, is to provide a way for us to go from knowing it to living it. So the way that, and there are, you know, there's more than one way, right? But as you read, or as we're in this conversation, and I'm going to give an example of that experience right now, but as you read, what's happening is it's not like I know something you don't know, Marcus. Like, you know, even before you read Do You Quantum Think, you know that you're already resonating with it, right? You and I have that kind of marriage of spirit. I like that. And so it's not like I know something and somebody else doesn't. We are tapped in. We are connected to infinite intelligence. So it's a question of what we tap into. It's like the internet. And you could say the internet is the infinite mind of humanity, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the sublime. So the question is, what are you going to tap into? You're always connected to it. But it's a question of where you decide to place your attention and your awareness. So when you read these principles, because quantum think is about bringing together these various principles. How do you think from infinite possibility? How do we move from success to mastery to be able to live from that state? There's an, 21 principles. I'm not going to name them all. Being in one conversation. What does that mean? We're all voices in one conversation. How do we go from either or thinking to both and, where we don't get stuck in our own limited belief, even though we have preferences, we can go beyond it. So it's as you read, you're actually giving yourself an experience. And by giving yourself an experience in the present moment awareness, you're giving yourself an experiential awareness. That integrates. The other thing is that there are practices that I call recreations, recreating the distinctions in your life. And those go even deeper to do it. But I want to give one right now so that everyone okay. can experience it. Okay? Or did you have any want to say anything about what I was just talking about? The idea.
You know, there is one thing that I fall off on right away, and I'm certainly it's the audience out there too is wondering too. You know, with through experience, there's so many different infinite possibilities. You know, there's so many different ways to to experience anything and to begin to integrate and harness what it is that we've been fed. You know, what do you think about that? How can you think from an infinite possibility?
Well, you can, you see, because what happens is your intent narrows it down to probability. Let me say this. In quantum think, I make a distinction between intent and intention. Intention being an end result, a measurable goal. I want to make $1 million next year, you know? Intent being an activation of your personal state, of your personal resonance. So a statement of intent might be something that you, a context that you're choosing to live from. For example, and just in terms of the money, that it's not based in circumstance or evidence or physical evidence. It's a choice, because what you want to do is you want to choose a resonant field that you want to live from. So in terms of money, maybe, you know, people are going through a lot of difficulties right now, regardless of your financial status, you know, just that's what's going on, right? So you might wake up and you say, well, you can either go into the default thought patterns, right? Something is always being created. Everything that you experience happens in what you hold in awareness. And awareness is of the heart. It's of the soul. It's not just the left brain, you know, cognitive thinking. Click, 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 I call it a thinking. It's the totality of who we are. What we hold in our awareness right now is giving us our experience. So we have a thought. We give whatever meaning we give that thought gives us an experience, and what we experience, we resonate. And so if we have an experience that is not desirable, that isn't going to get you where you want to go, then we have an opportunity to interrupt it. I call it a least action pathway, the least creative, right. The least conscious action, the way the thought or the energy goes, just because it's been that route before. So let's call it the default settings. Like you buy an iPhone, right? I have an iPhone. It's not an advertisement, but let's say you buy a smartphone.
No, I'm not.
Right?
I'm not a fan.
And you have, I was looking at it on my desk here, and you have a smartphone, and it comes with the default settings. So we have some default settings. We don't even know how it got there. You know, we're in fields. The fields are invisible. This is what we didn't learn in the only physical is real, you know, generation. It's like, and we say spirit spoke to us. Well, thoughts come in, too, that aren't even ours. So this is what I wanted to say, is that you can interrupt one of these least action pathway thoughts, and then what do? Create an intent. So I was saying, a statement of intent around financial might be, I'm optimistic about the way my financial status is unfolding. Now, that statement is neither true nor false. It's not positive thinking covering over a negative belief. By the way, this is different, the difference between quantum thinking and positive thinking. Positive thinking, it's good to have positive thoughts, but positive thinking covering over a negatively held a belief that you're holding as if it's the truth. That's why we don't go anywhere with it. Whereas quantum thinking, you have the understanding of two things. One is that reality is not fixed and static. You know, you said it yourself, Marcus, right? So many different infinite ways. Reality is energy in flux, and it's intelligent energy, and it's constantly shifting and changing. So it's, again, right, the internet. Where does it exist? It doesn't. It's beyond space and time, but it's whatever we decide to click on. So it's the same thing with our own mind, whatever we decide to click on. So the other thing, the two things I was going to say from a quantum worldview, reality, no absolute fixed in way that something is. That's the great news. That means we can intervene, right?
Exactly.
And secondly,
I like it.
That we exist in fields and we connect. I mean, you walk into a room. This is like, you don't need the science to know this. You walk into a room of happy people, you feel it before you heard them say a word, right? You walk into a room of bickering people, you feel that, or maybe they're silent, but they just had some kind of an argument. You can feel it in the space. That's energetic space. You walk into a sanctuary, right? You can feel it. You immediately go into a meditative state. Why? Because that field of that church or cathedral or synagogue, whatever it is, has built up with so many people resonating a meditative state there. So these two things are very important to let you know. How do you create your reality? Is that just because you have a thought? So I was saying, thoughts come in. I now call it the thoughtosphere. I didn't write that in my book, but just for fun. Mind field. Thoughts come in that are not even ours. Who knows how they got there? Doesn't matter. But if you're in an experience where you're having thoughts, I call them the wretched self syndrome. They have to go. You know, the I'm not good enough in every variation on that theme. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough, rich enough, whatever. Educated enough, I don't know, my family never made it, so how am I going to make it? Any of that, this is the important thing. It's not the truth. It's just a thought. And so here's the practice. It's a instantaneous, one less than a second practice. Make a distinction between a thought that just visits and a thought that you're consciously initiating.
Nice.
Right? Makes sense? So it's like, I'll end
Makes
like
a this. Ton of sense.
Just because you have a thought doesn't make it the truth. You don't have to own it or identify it with any way. You can, we say in our business, let it fly by like a bird past your window, and then what do? You say, what is my intent? Divine Source gave me the ability to create with intent, the directed attention and energy. That is what creates the probability. Many, many results consistent with your intent. That's where you go from infinite possibility to making it, narrowing it down into a way that you want your life, your world, your experience of today to go. By creating from intent. What's my intent for today? I wake up and I say, today is a glorious day, no matter what. Because I don't know it's going to be a glorious day? again, this is not evidence-based. This is quantum worldview-based. Today is a glorious day. I'm choosing to live from that.
Nice. I love it. You just offer us some very powerful stuff, and, you know, I know the audience appreciates a lot of it. You know, so, you know, and we just slightly above time, you know, so, you know, but real briefly, just tell us a little bit about, you know, Contra Think Principle, Success to Mastery. Just give us why, you know, people should read it. You know, just if you can briefly tell us.
Okay, good. Success to Mastery is one of the principles. And the idea of it is that we're in a time now where we need to move from success to mastery, not because all of us have successes of one kind or another. And success, by definition, is what happened in the past. So you always have that in your repertoire. But in looking forward, Marcus, you and I know that we are in a time of transformation unlike any we've ever known. And when you look at the three conditions of the world today, everything is accelerating. The pace of change is accelerating. That's actually a scientific fact, but we're feeling it. It's like all of a sudden, what? It's March? You know, we're in 2016.
Yeah.
How did that happen? It seemed, right? It's like we're in the experience of things speeding up, and they are speeding up because of our technologies.
Definitely.
And bringing the world together. Secondly, we have, again, because of the technologies, increasing choice, complexity, thousands of things coming into your email box, right, your Facebook, your Instagram, and it can be overwhelming. Thirdly, because we're in this time of great transformation for humanity and the world, and for each of us, it filters back to each of us, everybody's looking to say, what do I really want now? It gives you pause, right? What do I really want now? What do I value now? How do I live my purpose? And so when you put those three things together, pace of change, increasing choice, uncertainty on a daily basis. You know, you wake up, you watch the news, you can't even believe what's going on. But things are being revealed now to us, I believe, so that we can fix it, get the new, better solutions, bring the world together, bring our lives together. So success to mastery means that when you're living from a state of mastery, this is the state from which all masterful performance derives. That means, and you know, we love the masters, right? Whether it's, you know, Kobe Bryant or, you know, anybody. I like tennis, so, Roger Federer. You can look in sports or in music and you can see these people who, in the height of their performance, great performance, or any of us, when we're feeling like, wow, that was awesome, you know, I was in the zone. What is that state? That's the mastery state. That
Definitely.
Is what I'm talking about, moving from success to mastery. So that's a little bit about what's in the book and why people should read it, as you said. Of course, I want everyone to read it. Otherwise, why did I write it, right? So everyone
exactly.
can read it.
So if the audience want to get connected with you, you know, and just, you know, find out more about, you know, what you got going on and just, you know, get some more of this awesome wisdom from you, what's the best way to reach you?
The best way is on my website, which is dianecollins.com, Diane with two N's, DianeCollins. And that .com, DianeCollins.com, and there's a lot of free info on there. There's a lot of audio. There are a few videos. It has access to my book online, and you know it's all ebooks and hardcover. It has access to my Instagram account, which I'm now very hot on. Come follow me on Instagram. I like making my graphics with little Quantum Think quotes, and. That's the best place. And, you know, I would just love for you to come and get some experiences there at no charge. Of course, you can always sign up for my email list, and I rarely send things out, but I will keep you informed as to whatever we have going on new. So thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you so much, Diane. You definitely have been a blessing to this broadcast today, and you know we're just so appreciative of you, and we definitely want to make sure that we reach out to you. You know, I'm personally going to pick up that book, you know, because you know I'm blown away here. You know, like it's definitely some stuff that you know I'm very familiar with, but you put a brand new spin on it that's well needed in today's society.
Thank you so much, Dr. Marcus, for everything you're doing and your spirit and what you're putting out in the world. Wonderful.
Definitely. And it's to create more people like us.
Right. We love ourselves, right? Everyone should love themselves. That's a good note to end the show on, right? Or my segment anyway. I think you may be going on. But definitely, right? The message of the day, not only should you love yourself, you do love yourself. Just connect to that experience. You already love yourself.
Exactly. So, you know, there's one question I always ask all of my guests that come on, and that's about the current election season here we in, you know, with the presidential race coming up in November. You know, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts on that?
it's very frightening to think about it. But, well, you know, I look at it and I think one of the things that is going on now with both, you know, the Donald Trump part, you know, we say the non, and it was with Dr. Carson and Donald Trump, the non-political politician, newly formed politician, and Bernie Sanders, that this is part of what we're seeing in like infinite intelligence kind of breaking up the status quo. Because that two-party system, that either-or, right, that progressive or conservative, that Democrat or Republican, all of that kind of thinking, it's still, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Let me say that. However, any view can be limiting. And at this point in the world and humanity coming together, we really have to look beyond the party line, you know, and that's one of the distinctions in quantum think and Do You Quantum Think, is moving from a world of either or. And I bring up the idea of politics because when you look at that, you think, well, how do we think from the whole for the whole, you know, unity consciousness? How do we do that when we've got this divisive thing going on politically? And then you think, oh my goodness, these are the people who are running the show here, you know. And I think, so there's one thing is to be able to look at the person beyond the party. The second thing is to look at the person beyond their personality traits, because I think if you go beyond the personality to the heart and see who's more connected to the heart? Now, that is, I think, what had President Obama get elected. And I had the opportunity to meet him personally at the end of the primary in 2008, just before, you know, he got too famous to meet him, but he was at a friend's house. And, you know, you could feel it. I don't know if you've ever met him. But, you know, I've met several politicians because my friends would host people like that. And, you know, there's always that little slick kind of how we think of politicians. But with Obama, I felt, you know, he was, you know, really authentic. I could feel him more. And, you know, it's like everybody's blaming the president on this. And a lot of the things that are said in the campaign, they're never going to get that through anyway, because you're always dealing with Congress. And in a way, right, Congress has more power. And then you've got the Supreme Court you're dealing with. So it's not like, everything is Obama's fault. I mean, that's ridiculous. Everything is George Bush's fault. It's that what I think we can do, you know, in addition to vote, which I feel is important, because when you look at, right, the statistics on how many people vote, it's practically nothing. I think we should have a law. I think there's one in Australia where, you know, our system is very much backward right now in that way.
Yes,
like if
definitely
everyone,
fall.
If it was a law to vote, you know, it would be a much more, I just think it would be a better practice, and not to mention computerized. But you see them counting those ballots, right, piling up the papers, right? You think, are
yeah.
we in the 21st century? Do you ever have that thought, Marcus? But I think, you know, just to say from a bigger view, one thing is that it's part of the breaking up of the old system. And so we don't have to freak out over it, in other words, because I think there is, in science, it's called a self-organizing principle. And there is, you know, we keep the faith now that there's a higher order of things, divine order going on. And that how do we participate? Well, you know, on a physical basis, by voting and by, you know, really looking at the heart and the of the person to know what are we bringing here as a leader. And the second thing is that our own self, you know, transform
yeah.
you. Is
exactly.
that because I know as a quantum thinker, and it may sound far out, I don't think it sounds far out to you because you know metaphysics, our state, that our own personal state, the frequency, the energy, you know, the more refined we keep our own state, that's what we're emanating. That's really what we're contributing. I mean, we all do
exactly.
things, right, in the world. So you could say, oh, well, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm a lawyer, I'm whatever it is, and you have your worldly, whatever your profession, chosen profession is, or you're a mother, or whatever you are. But always we're emanating our state. So I think that what if we keep ourselves in the highest consciousness, in the living, the integrating of the wisdom of those virtues that we talked about at the very beginning of the show, that
yeah.
we have compassion for the people who, you know, are on there battling on the stage, or we see it like a game. You know, there's a saying from the master, the masters see, meaning the enlightened masters, see the world like entertainment, like watching a movie. So it's not that you're dissociating, but you don't have to take it in to make yourself, you know, upset or damaged from it in any way.
Right.
You can look at it and say, okay, they're in the politics game, and right now that game is looking kind of bad. But let's hold the higher principle. Let's stay in the divine principle. Let's
mm-hmm.
keep ourselves above the fray. And that's what
nice.
I feel is our task right now. Because otherwise, when I used to have this metaphysical teacher, and she would say to me, you have to laugh, otherwise you'll cry. You know, and so
that's
it, right?
It's so true.
You have to learn to laugh at it. And it's like, you know,
yeah.
you see all the comedians, right, on TV. I don't know if you ever watched. Do you ever watch The Daily Show? It used to be Jon
oh, yeah.
Stewart. Now it's Trevor Noah, who I like. Him. He's great.
Yeah, Trevor's cool, but I definitely miss Jon. You know.
I know. Jon Stewart, because there's nobody, you know, everybody's unique. And so
yeah.
it's a big thing to step into. But it's like Jon Stewart, he was great at showing those absurdities. And of course, he had the staff who would research and, you know, juxtapose, right, all those news clips where you see
right.
saying something here, you know, or they're just repeating the party line, you know, like the same thing over and over. They all have, like, oh, a phrase. I can't even think of their phrases now, but you know what I mean. Like that mechanical
yes.
way of being. And you just look mm-hmm. at it, and instead of making them wrong, it's like just see it like, okay, that's funny. And I look at it like when we awaken out of our own mechanical ways of being, that we're now in this evolutionary step for humanity. It's really a leap to awaken beyond the things that have divided us. Then we can even laugh at ourselves. You know, you see your own least action pathways. And you say, oh, dear, what is that? You know? And then you could go, okay, that's just a least action pathway. That's just an automatic thought. Blame it on the old worldview conditioning, I say, the industrial age. Okay, I'm not stuck with that. Let me move on. Let me get to, you know, and I test myself like this. Let's say, look at somebody who you don't agree with their politics at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that person, and of course, the automaticity in me is going to be, you know, I don't agree with that. That guy's full of, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And then this is what I do as a conscious practice. I think, it's going back to that thing. What's the intent in what they're saying? What's the heart? What are they really wanting to accomplish? How can
I
see the value in what they're saying, no matter who it is, whether it's liberal, conservative, whatever? And, you know, get to the heart of who that being is, because we're all here just trying to make it, right?
We're
all here just trying to make it and trying to figure it out and all the big questions, right? Who am I? What am I doing here? What am I supposed to be doing? Is there really a God? You know, all these questions that every human being has.
And I love it.
Right? And that's when you say, what is it to live the wisdom? That, to me, is true compassion. It's like, what is it? It's compassion for every human being that stands in front of you, that is whatever they are, that you realize they're just trying to make it, and their soul may have gone awry, you know, may have gotten off track. But I think our presence, our awareness, our loving kindness can raise the whole thing up. So that's the practice.
Wow, Diane, you just blew us away here. You know, we greatly appreciate you. We definitely can, you know, see your intent here. You know, your intent is definitely evident here. And, you know, you've been phenomenal. And we'd love to have you back again, you know, because you've just been a joy, you know, so. Hope to in the future that you do come back and visit us again.
I would
and just
love
provide some of these awesome nuggets that you give us. And, you know, and those out there who are listening, you know, if you want to be a part of us, the best way to do that is by joining our community of all the world's leading experts, just like the fabulous Diane Collins here, by visiting our website at transformubroadcast.com. That's transform the letter U, broadcast.com. This recording, as well as Diane's website, which is dianecollins.com, will be there as well. You'll be able to connect with her and get more of this awesome information, you know, delivered right at your door, literally, right at your door. And, you know, you'll find this recording also at the YouTube channel as well. You know, if you subscribe in to me, you know, you'll be able to find it there too. Other than that, you know, we greatly appreciate you guys. It's been a blessing. Just this time here, you know, exchanging, you know, good frequency, good energy, and projecting it out to you guys. Until next time, many blessings, peace, and love to each and every one of you guys.